Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Health Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. Yes, I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Health Star Worldwide Radio Network. Yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you through that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Ouch. And we do have an exciting show planned for you today. It's an unexpected show because one of our guests called in sick, or as we say in the business, they had to do something else that they forgot about. So Adrian and I are going to take calls, and we are going to answer the most frequently asked questions by caregivers. So if you're new to the show, and we get many new listeners every week from Blab, etc., I'm your host, Dave Nassani. Adrian Gruberg from the caregiver space.
Hi.
140 some odd thousand, maybe it's 150 now, Facebook likes. So she's doing something right. Like I said, if you're new to the show, I'm your host, Dave Nassani. And like I said, when the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, and giving. And they're also prone to burnout. And they put everyone else's needs above their own. And it's almost like the airlines. When you go on the airline, they seat you down. They give you the emergency spiel. They say, in the unlikely event of an emergency and the oxygen mask falls from the sky, put your mask on first. Because especially if you have a child, don't help them first, but help yourself first. And I mean, that sounds pretty selfish, doesn't it, Adrian? I mean, put my needs before my three-year-old? Are you crazy? I would guess if you put 100 people in a plane with 100 three-year-olds and the oxygen mask fell, 99 out of 100 of them would be helping the kid with their mask first. But see, they know from experience that you will most likely black out if that happens. And so you have to put your needs above the needs of your loved ones. And caregivers are exactly the same way. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects that it have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. Ouch. Well, there's only one way out of the grief process. You have to go through it. Can't go over it, around it, under it. You got to go through it. And we're here to help you through your grief and your loss if you kind of feel like you're stuck. All right, enough of that. Welcome to the show, Adrian. Why don't you just take a couple of minutes and tell the people who you are and what you do?
Okay, my name is Adrian Gruberg. And 4 years ago, I founded the Caregiver Space, which is an online site for all caregivers, primarily family caregivers are there, though. For emotional support, it's non-commercial. It's strictly there to help you. We have moderated chats on specific topics. We have a forum where you can either join a conversation in terms of writing back and forth, or you can start a conversation. You can just read and learn about what other people are going through, and maybe they'll give you some pointers, even without your asking for them. You'll see that you're not alone and that other people are going through exactly what you are. Of course, not exactly, because every caregiver experience is different, and we appreciate that.
And I had the privilege of being on her chat rooms several times. And I tell you, you know, we all think we have it bad. We all think our story is the story. But it wasn't until I started talking to some of these caregivers. I mean, my gosh, You can always find somebody with a situation worse than yours. And it doesn't matter how bad it is. There's always somebody. It's like the old story, you know, the guy complained about his hurting feet till he met a guy who didn't have feet. And he complained about not having feet till he met a guy who didn't have legs. And the story goes. So after speaking to these people, I'm so thankful for where I am and where my wife is at, because she could be a lot worse. I feel sorry and I feel bad for those, but you know what? They also can be thankful for the situation they're in, because it can be a lot worse for them, and so on. It can be a lot worse for those people as well. And you know, it's like God gives us grace to go through everything that I'm going through. And I don't think you can go through what I'm going through, Adrian. Maybe I can't go through what you're going through, because our trials are all matched up to our temperament, our personality, our situation, our genetic makeup, et cetera. And I'm so grateful for that.
We all handle things differently. Yeah. Some of us manage to keep their sense of humor and be light of heart. And some people just go into the doldrums and get depressed as caregivers. And when it goes on for years and years and years, which it often does, as you know, it's if you don't keep your sense of humor and if you don't stay as positive as you can about what you have in your life, I mean, I've just seen so many stories that show what happens when bad things happen to good people.
Yeah, God gave us a sense of humor for a reason. When my mm-hmm. wife had a stroke, the first 2 years was just hell, you know, because she was angry. She was going through a 2-year grieving process, and I think she was stuck in anger a lot. So, you know, you always hurt the ones you love, the ones you shouldn't hurt at all, as the Mills Brothers sing that old song. And so I got the brunt of it, because I was, you know, really the only one around except for occasional visitors. And I would be surprised how she would just change personalities when a visitor would come. Oh, you know, I mean, of course, she couldn't talk because she lost her speech, but she's learning and has learned very well how to speak nonverbally, because communication is 85% nonverbal. And she's got that part down really good. So, and it reminds me of that biblical story about Joseph. You know, here's a guy who had it great. I mean, he was the favorite son. He got a coat of many colors, and his jealous brothers put an end to that. They took his coat away from him, tore it up, threw him in the pit, sold him into slavery. First, they were going to kill him. And then, you know, he was a slave, and this guy had a hot wife who had the hots for him. And he was a righteous man. He didn't want to do that. And so it ended up she accused him of rape. And so he was thrown into prison. And slowly his attitude was noticed. He was a special guy. He was always, you know, up. He was always humorous, etc. And he became, as he would enter his trial, he would rise to the top of his trial. He was like number two guy in charge of the master's household. He was number two guy in charge of the prison. And when a couple of the king's baker and butcher came in there, or I think it was a wine taster, they were going to kill them both, and they both had dreams. And Joseph realized that God had given him the interpretation of dreams, so he gave them the interpretation. One guy was going to go back to his position, the other guy was going to get killed. And so a couple of years later, the king had a dream, and the guy who went back remembered that Joseph could interpret dreams, because the king was really upset. So they pulled Joseph out of the prison, told him the dream, and the next thing you know, the guy's running Egypt. So never give up on your dreams. Never lose your humor. Never lose your positive attitude. Because without it, I mean, the Bible also says without a vision or without a dream, the people will perish. You know, I'm thinking of the Holocaust survivors. God, how do you survive that? You know, just all hope taken away. And yet they persevered and they survived. And there are a lot of survivors. So you too can survive caregiving. I mean, if they survived the Holocaust, because sometimes caregiving may seem like the Holocaust. It may seem like there's no way out, like you're just going to die. You're getting sicker than the person you're caring for because you're not sleeping well. You're not eating well. You're not, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You're stuck in depression. So anything to say about all of that? That's a mouthful.
you've got to remember to take care of yourself.
That is the most important thing. What would you say the most frequent question that you have ever been asked by a caregiver that has this common theme? I can think of one if you want to take a moment and think.
The number one thing that we're asked is, how can I get paid to do this?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Who can I get money from to help me with my caregiving efforts?
Because they probably lost their job or whatever.
Exactly. They've lost their job. They've lost income. Depending on who they're caring for, they have to go through all the paperwork and the Medicaid work. And if they're caring for someone older, the Medicare work. Even if the person that they're caring for has all the insurance, it's paperwork, paperwork, paperwork.
Yeah.
And very frequently, there is no place for them to go to be able to get money. Very few states have any kind of compensation for caregivers. And that's something that we really need to fight for.
Well, now, fortunately, there are some government agencies. For example, the Veterans has a program that if your spouse was a veteran, that they will actually put you in a selected assisted living situation,
yes,
which may be better than the situation you're in now. You know, a lot of caregivers are watching their loved one, and the reason they're going crazy is because their level of care has exceeded their capacity to care for them. And it's like maybe they made a promise that I'll never put you in a nursing home or whatever, yeah, and this promise is killing them. And so the veterans will actually pay, and we're talking about $3,000 or $4,000 a month to put someone in an assisted living situation. So you need to look into that, see if they're a veteran. Or the Social Security Administration will actually pay a caregiver money because otherwise, if you weren't the caregiver, they'd be on Medi-Cal or Medicare or something, a Medicaid, and they would have to shell out money as well. And I know my in-laws did that for their parents. They were getting not only their Social Security check from the parents, but a little extra as well, because they were doing like you were doing, watching the father and the mother. They had hospital beds all over the place, preparing meals. I mean, they were just full-time caregivers. So don't give up on the hope that you can find that. And there are places on the internet that you can look and just, you know, have a positive attitude, and who knows what will happen.
Well, I mean, there is the American Council on Aging, but and then there, depending on the illness, there are independent groups for, you know, cerebral palsy or cystic fibrosis. I mean, every illness has some sort of an organization now, even the orphan illnesses. But when you get to parents of mentally disturbed children, you can't help but say, oh my God, this is going to be their life from now on. They're going to be caring for their child and wondering what will happen to this child when I die.
Yeah. You know?
And
it's a lifelong mission that never ends.
A lifelong mission that never ends. And they don't necessarily want to put their child in a residence. Sometimes it's called for the safety of the child, for the safety of other siblings. But sometimes the parents will just persevere and keep that child at home and raise the child. It's heartbreaking. These people have to find ways that they can support themselves in so many ways, not just financially, but financially, it's got to be a struggle.
Yeah. Have you found there's a difference between the younger caregivers and the older caregivers, and between men caregivers and women caregivers? What dynamics have you found?
Well, you're one of the exceptions to the rule. You're a great caregiver.
men are minorities.
Men, it's very hard to say this, but men like to fix things. And if they can't fix it, they sort of don't want anything to do with it. So the extreme of that is that they leave In the middle of that is that they turn the care over to somebody else, or they do find the facility when in fact their spouse would like to be with them. It, and again, depending on the illness, if it's something like Alzheimer's and that person doesn't know who you are anymore, it's got to be extremely painful, but it's got to be much safer for the patient to put them in a place where they are going to be able to have the kind of care that they really need.
Yeah.
But men have a problem with not being the best caregivers.
Yeah, and the extreme of that is
patients.
They file divorce papers while the person could still be in the hospital. I've
absolutely
seen that so many times.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to me. It's unthinkable to me. My husband was in the hospital. This is with his first wife. My husband was in the hospital, and when he got out of the hospital, she'd moved out.
Wow.
And I couldn't imagine that he, you know, somebody being in the hospital, my husband being in the hospital, and my not being there. So the fact that she wasn't there and that she actually moved out while he was there, that's very rare for a woman.
Well, I guess everyone takes their vows. Everyone takes their vows differently.
Yeah, and I'm saying he was a case. He really was a case. But caring for him and his mother, the dynamic of how he got to be the way he was became very clear to me.
Wow. And how about the younger caregivers? You know, when I was in my stroke support group 20 years ago, when my wife was in there, I felt so bad. There were young mothers in there,
oh, yes, with
small children who had, one of them in particular, I remember, had a brainstem stroke, which means it's not on your left side and it's not on your right side. You're paralyzed on both your sides.
Yeah.
And many times, you know, they can't speak as well. So I just, you know, as bad as we had it, I just can't imagine. You know, all my kids were grown at that time. The youngest was like 18. But when you have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old and you have this situation, I said, oh, my gosh, how? Thank you, God.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't relieve the pain of those who are going through it, you know. And obviously, I can think of situations that would be even worse than that. And we don't know why bad things happen to good people on this earth, just that this is a fallen earth and, you know, the next life will be a better one. And we have things to learn in this life. This is like a testing ground. That's the way I look at it, because every bad thing that has ever happened to me, if you just give it enough time, eventually good will come out of it. And I can say that 100%. So for those of you who think that no good can come out of this, be patient. Because one day you will say, you know what, if this didn't happen, then this wouldn't have happened and I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't have this. And, you know, it might take a while, but, you know, we're only on this earth a short time. My gosh, you know, 80 years is like a rose blooming and then it withers. That's how fast it is. I mean, I'm 62 years old.
Oh,
and yesterday,
God.
I swear, yesterday I was 21. And
yeah.
I don't know. I'm missing a lot of years in that gap, like the fiddler on the roof in the song Sunrise, Sunset. You know, I don't remember getting older. When did they?
Quickly flow the days. Yes.
Well, listen, we're going to take a break and we will be right back. So don't go away.
Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune in to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver radio program on HealthStar Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases. The list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on HealthStar Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
Welcome back. The commercials are added later on, so for those of you who are live, that's what happens. So I'm thinking of consequences of caregivers doing the wrong thing. There's emotional consequences and there's physical consequences. Do you want to comment on either one of those, Adrian?
I want to know what you mean by physical consequences.
You know, you don't eat right, so you get sick.
No, you said they're kind of not caregiving, you said.
In other words, caregivers, by doing the wrong things, can have physical consequences or emotional consequences
Absolutely.
By their actions. That's what I meant. So which one would you like to start with?
I suppose the neglect, of course, is one of the number one problems caregivers have. They neglect themselves because they've taken care of somebody else and they put the other person above themselves. And yes, it is like the airlines where the oxygen mask has to go on the parent first. But you don't feel that when you're going through it. In my case, I was very lucky. The degree of care changed. Sorry about the dog. The degree of care was.
If you want to put him on your lap, you can.
Well, she's. Someone's trying to take care of this.
Live radio, everybody.
Yeah, I would put her on my lap, but she's not near me. Where was I at?
You were talking about the consequences of not taking care of yourself.
With me, the degree of care changed with time. And so I had a chance to get used to things at each level. Mm. And I was taking care of myself. I was making sure that, it just dawned on me, well, if I don't take care of myself, I'm not going to be of any use to them. Something could be wrong with me. I could be sick, and who would be there to take care of them if something happened to me? But I was still thinking of them, not of myself there.
So what are some of the symptoms of emotional consequences?
Guilt.
That's a good one.
Guilt is a big one. You feel guilty that you really don't want to be doing this. You feel you have to do it. I didn't sign on for this. But I'll be doing it anyway.
I guess resentment goes with that.
Resentment definitely goes with it. And I mean, again, depending on the financial situation and the degree of care that's needed for the person who's ill, the caregiver has a lot of different things to worry about. And they won't think that taking care of themselves is the first problem. Uh-huh. Hold on.
Good watchdog.
She's too good a watchdog. I'm going to go get her. Can you give me a minute?
All right, sure. And I agree. It's not only emotional symptoms because guilt is a good one, but there are also things like anxiety and depression. We spoke about those in the grief process. I was saying depression and anxiety are also parts of the symptoms of emotional. So how can a person deal with the guilt? How do you get rid of guilt? I know I have a whole chapter in my book on what to do when you're feeling guilty.
Well, talking about it really does help. And seeing, going to a site like mine, like the caregiver space, where there's let's say a forum on guilt, you'll see that you're not the only person that feels this way, and that there's nothing wrong with feeling it, which automatically reduces the feeling of guilt.
Once
you see that, you know, there are just so many people going through the same thing, having the same feelings, it's like, oh, this is normal. Oh, that makes it okay. Yeah, that's okay. All right, so I don't feel so bad that I feel guilty anymore. So that lessens it. But the anxiety, not knowing is one of the, is how do you deal with not knowing what's next? Is another big question.
The fear of the unknown. You have nothing to fear but fear itself and the anticipatory grief.
Anticipatory grief. I mean, I started that process from the day that my husband was diagnosed. And as prepared as you might think you are, and as grounded and secure as you might think you are, it's all very, very different when things change on you and what you've been expecting happens.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy.
Yeah. And then, of course, some of the physical symptoms of not caring for yourself. You're always tired. When you're always tired, it means you're always catching a bug somewhere, the flu, the sore throat, a cough, a cold.
And you're in waiting rooms with people half the time who are sick. And
so your immune system makes you more susceptible to catching. And then as soon as you are over it, some other germ gets you because you're always catching something. So those are signs of burnout. Those are signs that you're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
And then depression. That's a big one. If you just have to, you know, in the morning, you just want to cover your head with covers and you don't want to get out of bed. You finally get up. You don't want to get dressed. Stay in your pajamas all day long. There's not necessarily anything wrong with staying in your pajamas. I know I've done it myself. But if it's a regular habit, and for women, you know, no makeup for a week. I mean, when you're used to putting makeup on or stuff like that. And then isolation. Quit isolating yourselves, you know.
That's the biggest problem that we deal with is finding care, other than financial ruin, really, isolation is the biggest problem that caregivers cope with. They don't always cope. They just start feeling sorrier and sorrier for themselves and more and more depressed because there's no way out.
It depends on how good a friend you have. I mean, a really, really, really good friend who's bold and can tell you anything, they're going to be pounding on your door and dragging you out of that house, you know, and just getting you away. But the so-so friends, they're just going to, when you tell them no, 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 they're just going to go away. You know, they're not going to fight for you.
And they're not going to come back. And they won't come back to you. At a certain point, even the best friend will say, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do something. I don't know what I can do. She won't tell me what kind of help she needs.
Right.
And I encourage people to know what they need so that if someone does come up to you and say, what can I do for you? You have an answer. Well, you can pick the kids up after school on Friday.
Yeah.
Or you can pick up some groceries for me. This is what I need. And you'll find that people are much more willing to continue to help when you actually know what to ask for.
Yeah. Well, that's so good that there are places on the internet. You know, when I was a caregiver in the early years, I don't even think there was an internet because I don't remember having a laptop or a computer that, I know we had dial-up modems and I know we had things that you can play like Star Trek on with another person and it was all DOS. But it wasn't the internet and it wasn't a place for caregivers to get help. I do know that somebody visited us at the hospital who had very severe stroke symptoms of speech impairment and paralysis on the right side. And I remember it scared me because, this was like the first or second day my wife is in the hospital. And of course, I'm a positive guy. This is just temporary. She's going to be okay. And we're going to go back to our normal lives. And to see this person say, the things that she was saying, and she wasn't saying the wrong things. She was encouraging me, but it was a reality check to me. Oh my gosh, this is serious. You mean my wife might end up like this woman?
Right. Is this
It
as good as it gets?
freaked me out, And so she invited us to the group, and I said no. But a few days later, when it looked like that's the direction my wife was going to be in fact, today I would give anything if she was in as good a shape as this woman, because she could at least speak. It was hard to understand. It's kind of like listening to a Korean person. You got to like tune it in. But my wife cannot speak at all. She knows maybe about a dozen words, and it's mostly playing charades, And so, like I said before, in the beginning of the show, there's always some place worse, and there's always some place better. And be careful what you don't hope for. Like I said, I says, oh, I just hope that my wife is not like that. Well, today I hope my wife could be like that because at least I can communicate with her. But like I said, everything happens for a reason. And she's a very remarkable woman. She was remarkable before her stroke, and after a 2-year grieving period, she finally, we both had some very strong faith. She came to the realization that God is sovereign over her life, that if this happened, it happened for a reason, that He allowed it to happen. Maybe he didn't do it, but he allowed it to happen for her good. And I've seen her grow tremendously spiritually and as a person. And she has had so many opportunities that she has taken advantage of to help people and bless people that she never would have had if she was just a normal person. We would have just gone about doing our normal thing. I wouldn't be doing this, helping all these people. She wouldn't be, blessing the people that she blesses regularly. And so we don't know why things happen the way they do. And when we get to where we're going, we can ask God why, But I don't think we will have to ask why. I think we'll already know that. We'll all have this universal mind that, because we're only using like 3% of this. It's like, can you imagine running your computer when only 3% of it works? Yet look at how much we've accomplished on this earth with only 3%, three marbles out of 100.
I mean, I can remember when my computer was probably 3% of what it is now. If I think go back to what I could do originally to what is possible now, in 2005, when Steve was diagnosed, there were virtually no support groups online. Facebook wasn't invented yet.
Yeah, Facebook is huge.
I mean that Facebook sort of came about a year and a half or so before Steve passed. And I just remember how technology was changing so fast, and he couldn't keep up with it, and he absolutely loved that. Every little new thing, every way that he could possibly get some new information. For me, the internet when he was sick was a great tool because I could research doctors and speak to people about what I could do, what I couldn't do, and just finding ratings on different treatments and what was available. I'm in New York, but City of Hope in California had so many great things going on. Like, oh, should we go to City of Hope? Should we, I mean, we followed a surgeon to Boston, from New York because he was the best. So, you know, that's what you do.
Let's talk about respite. The respite means getting a break for the caregiver. And a lot of people don't realize it, but in every community, just about, there are senior centers. And senior centers very often will have some area where you can drop them off and they will serve them lunch and they will give them, it's almost like a daycare for adults. Mm-hmm. And you will have 2 or 3 or 4 hours to go about and either take a nap or do your shopping or just be free, go meet with a friend, go catch a movie and dinner or something. And a lot of people aren't taking advantage of these.
Well, there's also the concern about the degree of care that the elderly might need within mm-hmm. within that situation. So not everybody will be eligible for that kind of daycare.
But almost all of them have an Alzheimer's area where they will and obviously there's different degrees of Alzheimer's. I used to sing at the senior center in Santa Clarita where I am here. And they did have an Alzheimer's area where they would go in there. And I've seen people who weren't too bad to people that were just out to lunch, you know, and they didn't even know you were in the room.
As long as they're not physically.
Yeah, like violent and stuff like that. Yeah. There was one lady there who would scream a lot.
Yeah.
And they kept her there for a long time. So apparently they're willing to tolerate screaming.
Well, I mean, those centers are very, very good. It's interesting. I have
and rides too. Some will actually provide transportation.
Yes, some will pick you up. In New York, we've got Accessoride, where you apply, everybody is accepted. It's not like mm-hmm. that. It's not a matter of financial need. It's a matter of age and. If you can't drive anymore and you can't take the subway anymore because of the steps and you can't walk far enough to go to the bus, they will pick you up and take you wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
And if that place is a senior center, then that place is where you can go. It might just be 3 minutes from the house.
Yeah.
But that's the way to get there.
And some communities, believe it or not, actually have overnight respite if funding is available, where they will actually keep your loved one overnight. I don't know of any, but there might be some rich communities out there. Beverly Hills, I don't know.
That would be special. I mean, respite care is one of the major problems because you know sometimes. People can't even find an hour a day to themselves, which is sort of ridiculous, but to think of it that way, because you really can. If you're sleeping, you've got that hour, but then you become sleep deprived. So it's this delicate balance of how can I spend my time taking care of myself?
Yeah, and let me, I just thought of another one that we used for my mother who had dementia. In California, there's a Medicaid program, and if you qualify for Medicaid, and it's getting easier and easier to qualify because when we qualified her like 2 or 3 years ago, she couldn't own a home and she had to have only a certain amount of money. But now you can have a home with a certain amount of equity, and in some cases, it doesn't matter how much equity you have. And if you qualify in California now, there's been a pilot program for 5 years, and it's just been renewed. It's in its second or third year. It's called the Assisted Living Waiver Program. And it will actually, under Medicaid, because Medicaid usually does not touch assisted living, you know, nursing home only for 100 days, that's it. But it's a pilot program. And so we were able to put my mother in a very nice facility, which charged $3,500 a month. They paid every penny of it. And it was a very nice facility. I mean, people came from all over the country looking for that. Now, all of them are nice like that. Some of them I wouldn't want to put my dog or my cat in because there's a list of which ones are qualified. And we wanted to put one locally, but they weren't on the list. So it may be a challenge to find one that's on the list that's close enough. We had to drive 35 miles to this place, but, you know, it's better that it's easier on her than easier on us. So she has since passed away, and we're very happy we did that. and maybe others can benefit from the assisted living waiver program. And thank God for the internet, because you can do all this without picking up the phone, without getting in your car. It's just amazing.
Sometimes the internet is better than actually getting on the telephone, because you'll find the answer rather than getting a machine that keeps sending you, you know, press one, press eight, press seven. You know,
confined. I hate those. I just always hit zero, and sometimes it doesn't work.
Insurance game, and things with the government. But if you really know how to use, if you know what you're looking for, and you know how to use search words, you'll really.
And if you don't know what you're doing, just find a 12-year-old and tell them what to do.
That's true.
Well, Adrian, we've come to the end of our hour, so we're going to. No, we had to leave a little early today because we started late, because our engineer needs the show to get it on in time and all that technical stuff that all these people don't need to know about. But we look forward to next week's show. We have a very important guest on. We're just going to keep it a secret until we post it. So thank you again for coming on. And again, how do we get to your site and your Facebook page?
Well, the site is thecaregiverspace.org.
I even wrote it down, but I made a mistake and I put a space between the and caregivers. So it's all together.
Thecaregiverspace.org.
And no space.
You can reach me at Adrienne, Adrienne, at thecaregiverspace.org. And I answer my email and will forward, send people to whichever resource they need to go to.
And so tell them quickly how they can get onto your chat page. Do they need to do anything special when they go to the website?
No, you just have to look for the little chat button.
Orange or yellow at the top.
I'm not 100% sure what it is right now. We're constantly working on it and constantly changing. But you'll find it on the home page. There's like a little button off to the side.
All right. And my website, I put that down, caregiverscaregiver.com. And we've got blogs, we've got videos, we've got YouTube, we've got the radio show podcast, and now the video podcast. And we've got caregiver quotes. We call them care quotes. And just anything and everything to help make your life a little more tolerable, to help you get to the end of your journey, whatever that might be. But just never give up, never lose hope, never quit being positive, and just don't lose your sense of humor, okay? Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, or catch the program anytime, 24/7, right here on HealthStar Worldwide.